If anybody can't hear me, tell me.
You ready for the microphone?
No, I'm loud enough without the microphone, so I just want to go easy on your ears. My name is Elchanan Ervin, and I was in the yeshiva for many years, Baruch Hashem. I lived in the Rova for 21 years, and I was the whole time basically. I was in the yeshiva, and I left about almost 10 years ago. And I have to tell you that there's nothing so special about being right here in the Old City. So even though I try to be happy wherever I am, but there is something that is that can't be replicated about being here. So I want you guys to just, you've probably been told this before, you'll be hearing it again, just to appreciate it that you get to be here, and to appreciate yourselves that you made the choice to be here, because, you didn't have to come, I didn't force you. So that's something very, very special, and I hope it stays with you for the rest of your life. I know it stays with me, and just walking by here, maybe I'll just stay here and I'll move back. I'll call my wife and the whole family over and I'll move back. It's not much amazing. So, what I wanted to talk about a few minutes, if you guys will allow me. Do you hear me, by the way? Everyone hears me?
Yeah.
Great, awesome. So, if not, I can always use the mic. That Reb Chaim was Nifter, a great tzaddik, a great gadol. So I want to speak to you guys about how you guys could be a gadol also. Now, usually when you hear about being a gadol, doesn't really sound like so much fun. Because what do you have to do? You sleep 4 hours a night, you learn 18 hours a day, you dive in, you go to mikvah, you all day long. It's really, really intense. You'll never go to a Mets game and say, hey, aren't you Reb Chaim Kanievsky? Sitting next to you at the ball game. You'll never be at the movies and say, you see a big Rosh Yeshiva there, a big tzaddik. They don't do fun stuff, so it's not really that much fun. So I think the reason many of us aren't, Gedolei Yisrael necessarily, don't aspire even to be, is because it's not for us. Because we're regular people, regular guys, and we just want to enjoy life. Want to be regular people, we'll be good Jews, but to be a Gadol is a little bit too much. It's sort of out of our league. So that's true. I think it is out of most of our leagues. And therefore, that's not what I want to say. I don't want to say that everybody should just, throw it all away and just stay in Eretz Yisrael for the rest of your lives. And just do nothing else. And my personal story is I came here for one year, and that was 35 years ago. So it's been a long year. And Shana Bet, and Shana Gimel, and Dal, and Vav, and Ches, and Yud Zayin, and Chav Tes, and Lamed Beis, and Lamed Hey. My parents are like, you're gonna come home already? So maybe not. I said once I already have a grandfather. So once you already have grandchildren, so now you're old enough, and you can just stay. You don't really have to. You don't have to get permission anymore. And it worked out better. My parents came here. But, so I'm not going to say that, and I don't think you should stay necessarily in yeshiva the rest of your life and learn 20 hours a day. But I do think that you could be the Gadol Ador. And I'm going to tell you why I think so. I think so, because I'm a chassid, and my Rebbe's name is the Rambam. Ever heard of that Rebbe? It's a big Rebbe. Anyway, this Rambam says, it's my own quote, that every person, I can't find the quote. But the Rambam says that every person has free choice, and you have so much free choice that you. Oh, here it is. He says like this: Rishus l'chol adam nisuna. Everybody has free choice. Imrat zelahatos atzmo l'derek tov l'yot tzaddik. Harishus biyado. If you want to be a tzaddik, you can, and that's what it says in the Torah. That man can be like one of us, to know between good and evil. Says the Rambam, that this species of man is unique. He's sui generis. And no one is like him. I'm just doing an English translation. And he can do whatever he wants, and nobody can stop him. So, what the Rambam is saying is that, the Pasuk says, that that's what makes us like Hashem. Nobody else is like Hashem. Nobody can stop him. And therefore, what Hashem did was, he had to remove him from Gan Eden, otherwise he's getting from the Eitz HaChaim, and that would be bad news. But he says that man is the only one who can choose. Now, animals also choose. Right? Like a cat, he can choose. I'm going to jump in the garbage can right now. Are there any cats in the road still? Right? So, missed those rubber cats. By the way, this is a great story. Welcome back. So I'm here all these years, and it's my last night, and I'm so sad. I'm so sad. Not that I ever cried, but I cried. I cried. I was so sad. I'm sitting there, and I'm like, maybe it's the last night. One last night. Anyway, in all the years in the row, it never happened to me that a cat came into my house to visit me. A cat jumped in. All of a sudden, I'm sitting there learning my stand there, and all of a sudden, I look up, and there's a rover cat. And I says, this rover cat is representing all the rover cats to wish me farewell. Not very, very touching for me. So that sort of made me feel better. Anyway, cats and dogs, they have free choice. They can choose to eat, you know, to run after the ball, not to run after the ball, to fight, not to, but they're all working on instinct. But human beings, we have das, we have sechel, and we can choose, we can make moral decisions, we can choose between good and evil. And Rambam says that we're the only ones who have that capacity. The only ones. And that, of course, is part of our Tzelem Elokim, right? That Hashem is also the one, he chooses. He is completely free to choose. Man is completely free to choose. We're not robots. And then the Rambam goes on, and he says, don't think, like the Tipshei Umas Olam, the fools of the nations of the world, V'rov Golmei B'nei Yisrael, and many of the golems among the Jews. What's a golem? A golem. You know, he looks like a person, but he doesn't have too many brains, right? So don't think like those Jews who were bird brains, excuse me, that it's decreed upon a person whether to be a tzaddik or a rasha. It's not true. Every person has a choice. You could be Moshe Rabbeinu, or you could be Adolf Hitler. You have a choice. Every Jew has a choice. Now, we don't think of it that way. Because we think, I can't go that low to be like the Satan Yimach Shemo. And also, come on, to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, how am I possibly going to be like Moshe Rabbeinu? It's impossible. Moshe Rabbeinu went 40 days without eating or drinking. Right? For a lot of us, myself included, 40 minutes is already a challenge, right? For you, I'm going to put something in your mouth, have a little drink, this, that. 40 days without eating, without drinking, he's up in Shemayim, he's talking, there's a little much. But that's what the Rambam says, we could be like Moshe Rabbeinu. And nobody decrees anything on him. And therefore, since we have free choice, so if you sin, so you're harming yourself. So this already is a good one of my favorite lessons from the Torah is excuses. People often like to make excuses. Why didn't do this? Why didn't do that? So the Rambam here tells us there are really no excuses. Because in every situation, you can choose. You can choose. You could be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. You could be as bad as... By the way, the Rambam does use the example of Hitler. He uses the example of Yeruvim ben Nevat. When you say Yeruvim ben Nevat, you know, your blood doesn't boil. When you're Hitler, your blood boils. So you could be as bad as that, and you could be as good as that, and then the Rambam is talking to us. Now, it's interesting. The Rambam is a letter. The Rambam in his letter says that not only can Jews be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, but even non-Jews. Finish in the Rambam. So the Rambam says, you have a choice. You can be the top of the top, the biggest tzaddik, the closest to Hashem, or the further from Hashem. So therefore, if anybody ever makes an excuse why, there's really no excuses, because we have a choice. Now, how can that be? How can that be? The Rambam has an ikur. Rambam has various ikurim. And one of them is that nobody can ever be a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. So if nobody can ever be a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu, so what is the Rambam telling us? That we can all be like Moshe Rabbeinu. So what do you call this in the Rambam? A steer in the Rambam! And Hashem, that's where they make a living off. Steer is in the Rambam. The Rambam says, you can be the Rebbe in YU. He's a joke. He says, it's the Rambam Lishitaso, against the Gemara. Right, that's the Rambam. Every Rambam you look at, somehow you're going to find that he's against the Gemara. Which is amazing, because he's really not. And that's always the exciting part of learning, is trying to find out how the Rambam learned that's really in accordance with the Gemara. But you didn't figure it out at first. So anyway, so the Rambam is against the Rambam. The Rambam says anyone can be like Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Rambam says nobody can be like Moshe Rabbeinu. So what's going on with the Rambam? So there was a great rabbi in Europe, and the rabbi's name was Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman. Elchanan Wasserman, the yeshivas, they always say, Rabbi Elchanan, they always call him Elchanan, said, wow. Now it happens to be that my grandmother's name was Chana, and my parents decided that they didn't want to name me Chana, because then everybody would laugh at me, and I'm a sensitive kid. So they named me Elchanan instead. But that is the difference then between the fake Rebbe Elchanan and the real Rebbe Elchanan. So if you're ever in a shir and somebody calls Rebbe Elchanan, you say, the fake one or the real one? Say, who's the fake one? Say, one guy came to the Tivari one Thursday night at the end of this month for a little end of this month comedy. Okay, so anyway, so this Rebbe Elchanan said an amazing idea. I heard this idea when Ronald Reagan was president. It was somewhere in the 1980s. It was, I think, soon after the Mets had won a World Series, which is basically my landmark of my life. Everything that happened before the World Series, after, like BC, ADC, AA, you know, before or after. So me, it was always before, and then it was after. Through different parts of my life. In any event, so I remember I saw this idea, and ever since I saw this idea, it stuck with me. And it's really amazing. The Rambam says, not really the Rambam, the Rav Hanan says, that the Rambam says, what was so great about Moshe Rabbeinu? What really made Moshe Rabbeinu special? The fact that he was a prophet? The fact that he took the Jews out of Egypt? What made Moshe Rabbeinu so great is that Moshe Rabbeinu had potential, and he reached his potential. That's it. It's that simple. So when the Rambam says you can be like Moshe Rabbeinu, he doesn't mean you can be a prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu. You know why? Because the Rambam says that nobody can be a prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu. And if you believe that you can be a prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu, then it's a very, very big avera. Now, I'm not a big avera guy. I don't like doing averas. But I can think of averas that are more fun than not believing that Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest prophet ever. So don't choose that as your avera, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu, you got to believe, is the greatest prophet ever, right? There was an Orthodox organization of atheists. So they were a not-for-profit organization. Okay, they don't believe in prophets. But we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest prophet ever. So in Nevuah, nobody's ever going to be Moshe Rabbeinu, as hard as you try. But what about in Sikkus? What about in Sikkus? In Sikkus, you can be like Moshe Rabbeinu. But how is that? So when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the whole house was filled with light. So when you were born, I'm assuming the hospital room was filled with light, but that was just, you know, natural electricity light, like not like light of, you know, celestial, divine light. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a little bit more potential, okay? But if you reach your potential, then you're as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. Is it your fault that you weren't given the tools? Now, the problem is we don't think like this. Because let's say you want to go to Harvard or MIT. You really want to go to a top school. And you try your hardest, but what can you do? You're just not a great student. So you try. Are they going to let you in because you tried your hardest? Or one day you come, you say, did I get a no from there out there? That's a correct no. Or one day, let's say you like sports. So, you put on a tank top, making sure, of course, to put strings at the corner on all four sides. You put on one of those things, and you go with your skinny Jewish body. I don't want to say anything. I know the world's very PC today. I don't want to make any jokes. No jokes about Jews. No jokes about blacks. No jokes about gays. No jokes. No humor. We're living in a society where people are sensitive. So if you say anything funny, you might hurt somebody's feelings. What'd you say? Oh, here it's allowed. Or Abina still says stuff. Sometimes it's a little bit not PC. I thought all of a sudden he says PC. I thought no more jokes about gays. Still, okay. Anyway, so... girl, you know, this lady running out wants to be in the Supreme Court. They asked her what a woman is, and she said she can't define a woman. So he said, well, I can, so I'm smarter than you, so maybe I can be on the Supreme Court, but I really have better things to do with my time. I'm going to say woman, man. Anyway, so fluid. I'm surprised here, they only have one bathroom for men, one for women, nothing for fluid. Okay, I guess nobody knew she was fluid. And if you are, I guess you'll go to Gullis. They still have Gullis in Yeshiva? Yeah. Gullis, you'll find Gullis for fluid people. In any event, okay, enough about that. So you want to go, you put on your thing, you put on your short pants, you put on your fancy sneakers, and you go, and you start running around, and you want to play for the team. And of course they're laughing at you, right? And you say, yeah, but I'm trying my best. I'm really, really trying my best. Is that going to get you anywhere? Is it going to get you anywhere in business? I tried my best. I invested in the stock market, and I did my best. So you lose your shirt doing your best. So in the outside world, it doesn't work that way. And that's why it's a little bit confusing. Because since in the outside world it doesn't work that way, in the outside world the way it works is probably if you're more talented, if you're really, really smart, then you get ahead. And if you don't have talent in that area that you're trying, then you're not going to get ahead. That's the way it works in the world. But that's not the way it works with the Ribono Shel Olam. The way it works with Hashem is that he knows the kelim that he gave you. He knows what your talents are. He knows what your tests are. And then he sees how well you're doing based on what the abilities that you have. That's the way he judges you. The world doesn't judge you like that. So you're not going to get on the cover of magazines, you're not going to take pictures of you, you're not going to stand outside your door. And I told, I got this email from Rav Korn, you know, he asked me if I could come tonight. So I told him, I'm very, you know, the Sarah Torah died. They're looking for a new Sarah Torah. Baruch Hashem, they found one. And, you know, I have a line around the block. But I told people I'm moving to Michigan. Why? Because Michigan, have you ever met a Hasidish Rebbe from Michigan? You have?
A Hasidish Rebbe.
Are you from Michigan?
No.
Because I am actually going there, and I'm going to be the Michigan Rebbe. And this way, if you go there, then the people will find me over there. But to be in Eretz Yisrael, so I told Rav, I'm so busy, I'm a Shigin Rebbe. But I'll find time to come. In any event, so if you do your best with the talents they gave you, even if your talents aren't so much, you don't have the zitzfleisch. It's hard for you to sit. Does anybody find it easy to sit just 18 hours a day learning? Just, you know, chazering. Try that. You know, chazering Kol HaTorah Kula every year. You know, like Pesach time was Rav Chaim Kanievsky's busiest time because, you know, he had to make up. Like, it was like every day he had to do like 50 dafim of Yerushalmi. Right? We know Yerushalmi, so we know the place. But there's also a set of books over there. It's somewhere in the shelf called Talmud Yerushalmi. So we're not built for that. We're not built for that. It's too much. And all the other things and all the chazaras and every another. Do it another time. 20 times, 30 times, 80 times. We're just not built for that. But it doesn't matter. Because that's not what Hashem wants. If you're built for that, then that's what you have to do. But if you're not built for that, then you just have to do the best at whatever you're doing. Now, it's an interesting gemara. This is really one of my favorite gemaras. You go up to a girl. A guy goes up to a girl. And this guy's not such a firm guy. He's not such a firm guy. He doesn't keep all the halachas. He's a phone. He watches things you shouldn't watch. Does this, does that. He doesn't always keep Shabbos. And he goes to the girl. What's this after you learning this? Gittin. This is in the next one. In Kiddushin. Why is Gittin before Kiddushin? It's a good joke about that. I'm not going to tell it. So the Gittin says, so you go up to the thing, Kiddushin. You go up to the woman, and you say, Harev Kudeshesli, behold, you are married to me. I'm an Asan Kiddushin, Shani Tzadik. I'm a Kiddushin, then I'm a Tzadik. Even if you're a Russia, she's married. Suffolk married, maybe yeah, maybe no, but married. Even though, A minute ago, you were eating a juicy cheeseburger with a lot of lettuce. Because you know, you probably don't go to McDonald's. But at McDonald's, they have a special. You can get for $1.99 a fat cheeseburger with lettuce, teeming with insects. Lots and lots of insects. They don't check for bugs. Yes? So just a moment ago, you ate an insect-filled piece of lettuce with hamburgers and cheese on top. Just to make sure it's del risa, you know, because it's only cooked milk in me, so it's cooked now. It's a Baruch Hashem. And then you say to the girl, what? You're married. How did you become a tzaddik? So Gemara says, because maybe you thought to do tshuva. Maybe you thought. So it's how long does it take for you to be a tzaddik? In a split second. Now already the Mefarshim say that you still have to deal with the past. You have to deal with the past, and you have to make sure to do tshuva on the past. But at this moment, you're a tzaddik. So therefore, my own theory is, based on the Rambam, then what is the definition of a tzaddik, of the Gadol Hador? The Gadol Hador, according to the Rambam, according to the explanation of the real Rebbe Elchanan, as understood by the fake Rebbe Elchanan, is that if at this moment you're supposed to be doing something, and you're doing it right, then you're the Gadol Hador. So what are you guys supposed to be doing on a Thursday night? There are other options. There's places outside of the Rova, where there are people of the other gender, maybe hanging out some places. That's what I heard. There are places like that to go. You could be in the dorm. You could have gone back to America already. I'm surprised there's so many guys still here. Because, you know, usually at the end of this month, you know, people have a little bit of an exodus. Before the exodus, they have an exodus. Yes, you're still here. Amazing. So lots of stuff to do. You can be sitting here, but you can really not be here. What does the Baal Shem Tov say? Where your thoughts are is where you are. Right? So you can be sitting here, and your mind is a story of the Beis Yisrael, the Holy Ger Rebbe. So he's my Rebbe's Rebbe, so he likes to tell a lot of great Beis Yisrael stories. So one time there was a guy sitting with the Rebbe, and he was thinking about, the Rebbe was talking, and the Rebbe, one of his specialties was that he could read people's minds. So he looks at the guy and he says to him in Yiddish, I'll say in French for those who don't understand Yiddish, he said to him, better be in Chutz Laretz and think about Eretz Yisrael than be in Eretz Yisrael if you think about Chutz Laretz. And then afterwards, they said to the guy, what was that? And he said, yeah, I was thinking there was something going on in America about some event, and I was thinking about being in that event. And at that moment, the Rebbe Chatni grabbed me, and he said to me, better. So you are where your thoughts are. So you could be sitting here, and you could be thinking to yourself a million different things. Or you can actually be listening to me. Now, if you're listening to me, I don't want to sound guy to begin anyway, but probably that's what's expected of you at this moment. So at this moment, you're the Gadol Hador. That's it. And if you're supposed to be davening, and you're focused on your davening, so at that moment, you're the Gadol Hador. Why? Because you have a job to do, and you're doing it right. Now, the big gadol, the ones who become famous, what they do is they just do it on a day-to-day basis and on a minute-to-minute basis. So sometimes we have up moments and sometimes we have down moments. But every moment, you have another choice. What am I going to do this moment? And it doesn't matter what you did every other moment of your life. And what's the proof? Gemara in Kedushin. Have you ever heard this Gemara? A guy goes up to a lady, and he's a Rasha, and he says to her, "Arei mekudeshes li on condition that I'm a tzaddik." They're married, or at least suffix, they're married by doubt, because maybe a moment ago he thought, "I'm a tzaddik. I want to do tshuva." So that's how long it takes. I did a story once. It was once a rabbi going to the doctor, and he was in the waiting room, and he was smoking a cigarette. And the doctor calls him in, and then on his way out. And then when he calls him in, he says, "Rebbe, it's not so healthy for you to smoke." So because he examines him, he walks out, and then the cigarette is still in the ashtray. So the doctor, and when the rebbe is leaving, he says, "Rebbe, you forgot your cigarette." He goes out and smoke. What? Because in that moment, he just decided, when the doctor said it's not good for you to smoke, that was the end of his smoking life. And that's it. It really doesn't matter what happened in the past. So that is the opportunity. It's an amazing thing to think about. That it doesn't matter anything I've ever done in the past. At this, what am I going to do right now at this moment? Now, what's going to be in the future? What's going to be in the future? That doesn't matter, because the future's not here. What was in the past? You can't fix the past. So what's the point? What do you have now? Now you have the opportunity to be a tzaddik. And that's just an amazing, and that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, anybody can be a tzaddik. Well, he's fulfilling his potential. So you're just doing at this moment, you're doing your best. And then the more you do your best, the greater a tzaddik you become. It's accumulative, right? You dive in, you learn, and you do chesed, and you work on your midos, and then you just keep going higher and higher and higher and higher, and you see yourself growing, and in every stage in your life, now you have new challenges. Hashem is going to keep sending you new challenges. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where your family is, it doesn't matter where you come from. The more I live, the more I see it. I can't believe it. It doesn't matter who it is. Everybody has challenges. Everybody's having a rough time. Everybody has nisyonos. Everybody has difficulties. Everybody has demons. Everybody. So Hashem just sends everybody what they need in order to grow. You take advantage, and you do your best at that moment, and then you become higher. And then you remember the way you used to be and the way you used to think. And then, now you're not there anymore, but there's still higher to go. And then higher and higher and higher. And that's what it means to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. But can one be a Nabi like Moshe Rabbeinu? No. There's an interesting, the Nefesh HaChaim has a great Kabbalistic sefer. So he tells a lot of what's going on in Shemayim. He says, I don't know, I wasn't there. I was there, but I remember. He says that every time you think, you just think to do a mitzvah, all of a sudden you have this divine light. All of a sudden, you change the worlds. You know there are billions of spiritual worlds up there, as Mukubalan tell us? All you have to do is have a good thought, and you've changed all of that. And every time you have a bad thought, you know, the Nefesh HaChaim also says, the human body is like the Kodesh Kedoshim. His human body is like the Mishkan. Right? I'm going to dwell within you. So if the human body is the Mishkan, so where's the Kodesh Kedoshim? The Kodesh Kedoshim is your mind. Because that's the most spiritual part of a person. The person's mind. That's where you think. That's where you understand Torah. That's where you analyze. That's how you understand. That's what separates us from animals. Right? Scientists say that 98% of the human anatomy is identical to that of a cheetah. Right? But I think that 2% makes all the difference. Right? You ever say, "Yeah, I have a girl for you, she's a cheetah," but don't worry, it's 98% similar. Right? That 2%, that das that we have, makes all the difference. Right? So that's the Kodesh Kedoshim. So let's say you have a thought that maybe you shouldn't have. Not so clean. So the Nefesh HaChaim says, you're bringing that thought into the Holy of Holies. So to bring it into my mind, okay, but it's the Holy of Holies. That's the way he says to look at it. So you have that thought, and terrible stuff is going on. Now you don't realize it, because we're bodies. And bodies don't feel what goes on in the spiritual world, because we're so physical. So we don't feel the spiritual. There are people who are very, very spiritual who feel it. But I'm not in that category, and most people aren't in that category. But it's happening. And then when we divest ourselves of our bodies, everything that we created with our deeds and with our thoughts is going to be felt. So at the moment that we're thinking of doing the mitzvah, we are surrounded at that moment by Gan Eden, right at that moment, like bliss. And when we're doing an Avera, that itself is the Gehenna. And if we don't feel it, because we're not there, because we're too physical. But that's what he says. So every time you have a thought, so when the Rambam talks about the power of Bechira, that everybody has Bechira to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, And a lot of people don't believe it. Hiranuma wasn't necessarily only talking about the people who think that we are pre-programmed robots. There are scientists who still think that. No, a lot don't. Proofs against it. But he wasn't only talking about that. He was talking about people who really don't think they make a difference. And we really, really do make it. We don't see it, but we really, really do make a difference. So, you know, what's important to do is, again, we're talking before about being a tzaddik, we're talking before about Rukhaim. When you hear stories of tzaddikim, it's not always important to be like them, because you're not able to do that. But there's usually a principle, a lesson that can be learned. The other day I heard something very interesting. I heard that in his life, Rav Chaim spoke on the phone twice. Two phone calls in his life. You guys heard that? See some nods? Pretty amazing. Two phone calls. One, his son, who's having an operation, an American operation. And one, somebody thought he was angry enough to make shalom, called him. Now, I don't recommend that. You know, your mother's calling, she's calling, you're not answering, saying, sorry, mom, that's it. I went over my two long ago, and then I can never talk on the phone again. No. But what's that about? Where did that come from? I think it's very simple. When he was probably about 8 years old, 10 years old, whenever it was, I don't know if there were phones back then, back in the 1700s, he decided that his goal in life is to be the greatest Talmud Chacham possible. And he's not going to let anything get in the way. And then he looked at the little machine, and he says, is this machine going to help me reach my goal, or is it going to obstruct me from reaching my goal? He said, obstruct me from reaching my goal. And that was it. And he never ever spoke on the phone again, except for those two times when he thought his mama should. And he really, really needed to. So what can we learn from that? So you make a goal, you're 18 years old, you're 19 years old, and you say to yourself, these are my goals, now you make them. You have to be conscious of it. You have to be aware. You have to choose, right? The Rabbeinu Yonah writes that the greatest maila, possibly, from what I understand Rabbeinu Yonah and the Shari Tshuva, is the maila sabachira, that man can choose. In other words, instead of just doing things by rote, you're choosing. You're choosing now, this is my goal in life, this is what I want to get to, and nothing is going to stop me. And the second you see that something is stopping you from getting to that, reaching your goal, then it just stops being interesting for you. Right? There's certain things in life that are interesting. We have a lot of conflicts. We want this and we want that. And a lot of times what we want is contradictory. But when you realize that you have a goal, and this is going to stop you from reaching your goal, then it just stops being interesting to you because it's going to destroy you. So for example, we can use the example we used before, about the bad thoughts. So there's a lot of things in this world that try to appeal to the lower part of man. Yes, I wear a gartel. Yeah, the part of man that's below the gartel, we'll call it, yes? So it tries to appeal to you, to try to get you excited. So that's what every movie, when you watch the news, you shouldn't watch the news. Because even on the news is also the female broadcasters. You ever notice there's no 88-year-old bubbies, you know, doing the news? Right, and even in sport. When I was a kid, sports was like a men's thing. But now also, and it all revolves around Gil Arayos. That's most of what is around. Even you go to a game. Right, and you have these people. Let's say there were no cheerleaders. Would you guys know how to cheer on your own? Right? But what is it? They know that guys want Gilad Arayos, so they put those people there in order to excite them. So everything is about that, every movie, every book. So, and it's appealing. Why? Because we're male. Even though we've never been inside an envelope before, we're male. Okay? So what do you do? What do you do? So I'll tell you what some people do. What some people do is say, it's us. Everyone does it. Oh, what's the big deal? They go back and they go forth. And other people say, this is going to destroy me forever. What do I need this for? I'm in this world to become a holy person. How do I know? He says in the Torah, Kadosh to you. God is commanding me, every Jew, is obligated to be holy. And this is going to make me unholy. So why would I stab myself in the heart? Why would I want to destroy myself? And the moment you see it that way, it's like poison. It's delicious. It's delicious. Yeah, there's some cyanide in there. You know what I mean? What? By the way, what bracha do you make on poison? Bracha achrona. Okay? So there's cyanide in there. Are you going to eat it? Even though it looks very, very, very good. It looks very good. So that's the way you have to look at things that are trying to get you, stop you from reaching your goal. See, that's not who I want to be. And what's going to be, so the 3 minutes, do you know how many people there are? It's just incredible. It just boggles my mind again and again and again. How many people destroyed their lives for 5 minutes of pleasure? Destroyed their lives forever. You know, a guy wants excitement. And he gets his excitement for a few minutes. What ends up happening always, just about? He loses his wife.
He loses his children. He loses his house. He loses his money. And in the end, he breaks up with her also. Because the same way he couldn't control himself with this one, he's not going to control himself the next time, and then he's going to go through the whole story. And that's a lot of the world. A lot of the world. You know, in America, there's a lot of arguments, Republicans and Democrats, all that stuff. What I heard from a Gadol B'Yisrael, and I think it's true, is that basically Republicans and Democrats want the same thing. They just want you to be able to enjoy your Yetzer Hara. That's it. We have a world. Enjoy yourself. We want to have a strong economy. What does it mean, a strong economy? That everybody should have money, so they should be able to enjoy themselves. That's all. In one way are they going to enjoy themselves? That now they can just sit and learn Minchas Chinuch every night without anybody bothering them? No! They want to enjoy it. They want to be able to eat good food. I remember when the COVID, Corona, you guys heard of that? And everybody was like, oh no! We can't go to the bars anymore. And then when finally they think, oh, finally we go to the bars. I heard one woman interviewed, you know, she said, nobody's going to stop me from having my hair done. I don't care about any Corona. Because basically that's what, she wants to have her hair done, and he wants to go to the bar, and people want to have a good time. They just want to enjoy themselves. And that's fine. That's fine, because they don't know any better. So this is not a criticism of them. They really don't know any better. They're going based on their instincts. But we know better. So if that's your goal, if your goal is to be the holiest possible person, then you're not going to let anything stop you. So I think that that's what the idea of the phone is. I know a lady, she has like 12 children. And she's not a healthy person. She has serious health issues. And every time she gives birth to a baby, she's endangering her life. And she keeps having more. Last I checked, she had 12. Maybe she has 16 now. Yeah. Is she crazy? No, she's not crazy. She has a goal in life. What's her goal in life? Have as many children as possible. And nothing is going to stop her. I had a doctor say it might end her life. Now, you might dispute that, and you might say, I don't think that's such a good idea. For my wife, I would say, no. I don't like that idea. You know, we can always adopt. We can always buy in the free market. We can, but I don't want that. I don't want you to die. But she has a goal. Her goal is to have as many children as possible. So why should a little bit of sakana nefashos, of life-endangering health condition, get in her way? So again, I personally think you can dispute and say, that's a good idea. But I'm using that as an example of somebody I know who has a goal, and nothing is going to stop this person, including the threat of not being alive anymore. So we can use that for ourselves and say, nothing is going to stop me from reaching my goal. And I'm not saying you should risk your life, but I am saying that you should take it seriously, and then a lot of things that used to be appealing for you won't be appealing anymore. There's a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos on page Kuf Mem Zayin on the base. Very interesting Gemara. The Gemara tells about Rav Elazar ben Arach, who was really one of the top Amora Tanoim, and he went to a certain place, and this place was a very luxurious place. Today, already, you know, you have these fancy getaways in Dubai, and you know, all these vacation spots that Jews find. And this place probably didn't have all the exciting stuff that we have, but it was nice. It was good wine, good water. So the Gemara says that he got so into all the pleasure that was going on over there that when he forgot his learning. So he went up to the Torah. And it was Parashas HaChodesh. This week is Parashas HaChodesh. So instead of reading HaChodesh HaZelechem, he read HaCheresh HaYalibam. Not a coincidence. First of all, he couldn't read anymore. He couldn't read. And second of all, instead of saying HaChodesh HaZelechem, he said HaCheresh HaYalibam. What does it mean HaCheresh HaYalibam? That the heart was deaf. You know, heart is deaf. The Gemara says that when somebody makes someone else deaf, they have to pay their entire value. Because a person's hearing is like the basis of being able to function in society, to be able to hear. He completely lost himself. HaCheresh HaYalibam. Why? Because he got so immersed. He was just drowning in the Gashmias over there. He lost it. So again, there's a certain appeal to Gashmias. We all like it. We all like good food. We all like to have fun. We all like pleasure. Because we're human beings. And we have bodies. And that's fine. But when the problem begins, when a person gets so immersed in it, that he just loses it. What does he lose? He loses a chodesh ezelechem. What does a chodesh ezelechem mean? So we have a lot of mitzvahs in the Torah. The first mitzvah, the foundational mitzvah, the most basic mitzvah given to the Jewish people, was to sanctify the new month. Now, if you would ask me, I would have made a different choice. I would have chosen Shabbos. I would have chosen learning Torah. I would have chosen living in Israel. Do something Jewish. What's this? Sanctifying the new month. So there's one principle that you see in many, many different svarim, and that is that Hashem was sending a message to the Jewish people. And the message is that we have the power of Ischachus. The power of Ischachus means that it never gets old. The problem with many of us is that we've done this, been there. Anyone get excited about Ashrei? I'm excited about it. I can see people get excited about Aleinu, right? But that's for a different reason. Not excited about Ashrei, right? But there's some people who are very excited about Ashrei. There's some people, there's a Rabbi Yerushalayim, Rav Shmuel Auerbach, used to say, Hashem svasai tiftach, ufi agiti lasecha. Sometimes it took him 9 minutes. He would just keep repeating it again and again and again. He just kept, Hashem svasai, you're opening my lips. He goes, without Hashem, you can't speak. And then now my mouth, because you were helping my mouth, can say your praises. Hashem, I can praise you. This is awesome. He said it again, 9 minutes. And it wasn't once, and it wasn't twice, and it wasn't three times. Right? Where does that come from? It's like the idea of Ischachus. That's a Chodesh Zelachem. Now, everybody needs excitement. Everybody needs a good time. There is nobody in the world who doesn't want a good time. So what's the difference between the great guys and everybody else? What separates everybody from the pack? What do you choose to be your pleasure? You guys ever go to a bar and the bartender says, hey, what's your pleasure? I haven't. But anyway, or at least not him saying you, what's your pleasure? But that's what they say, at least in the movies they used to. What's your pleasure? So everybody in this room gets to decide, what is going to be your pleasure in life? Is your pleasure in life going to be to give? Or is your pleasure in life going to be to take? Now I can tell you that studies show that takers, not Jewish studies, that takers are much less happier than givers. Givers are much happier. Right? But it's counterintuitive, because when you're giving, you're losing, and when you're taking, you're gaining, right? Or so we think. So, but I can tell you the research, but it doesn't really matter what the research says, because Hashem said you should be a giver. So if your pleasure is to be a giver, then you're going to be a great person. If your pleasure is to be a taker, you're not going to be a great person. If your pleasure is to see yourself as being a spiritual being, then anything that's going to bring you down from that plateau, It's not going to be a fight. It's not going to be interesting for you. Or is the role of tzaddik? Will the Yisrael simcha? A tzaddik has a planted light, because a tzaddik sometimes has battles. But if somebody's a yashar lev, is somebody who just goes straight with the Rabbanu Shalom. He doesn't look to the right. He doesn't look to the left. He has his goal. He has his eye on the ball. So he's happy, because this is who he wants to be, and he doesn't feel like he's missing out. Do you think that Rav Nevenzahl goes to sleep at night and thinks, gosh darn, 150,000 Jews in Orlando, and I'm stuck again for Pesach here in Yerushalayim? Do you think he ever thinks to himself, I've been through Shas 200 times, you know what I'm telling you, still sincere? There, sit there. Oh, it's got a beautiful, wow. Holy. So, you think he sits there and he thinks to himself, you know, I've been through Shas 200 times, I think I can go golfing now? So the pasuk says, Vayakom Melech Chadash Al Mitzrayim. Vayakom Melech Chadash Al Mitzrayim. So the Medrash says, you know why Vayakom Melech Chadash Al Mitzrayim, or the Medrash as understood by the Sfasemas, because, well, it's a pasuk and Hoshea, it doesn't matter, but the point is that we lost our Ischachus, we lost our sense of renewal, so they took it instead. In other words, it depends who's going to have their renewal. It wasn't us, so was Mitzrayim. And that's really what Parshas HaChodesh is about. Parshas HaChodesh, and it's Rosh Chodesh this month, and it's Parshas HaChodesh, I mean the Shabbos. So it's a beautiful, this, we're towards the end. It's about the end. There's a beautiful Sfas Emes. This is Sfas Emes in Parshas Bo, worth $1 million. I always say, if I was stranded on a deserted island, and I could bring one sefer with me, what sefer would I bring? I'd bring a sefer to tell you how to get off an island when you're stranded. How to get off the Zura, that's how I think, so I'd get out of there. But if I could bring another saber, I'd bring the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes, for me, literally, if you give me $10 million not to ever bring the Sfas Emes again, I wouldn't take it. Unbelievable saber. So he says like this, Ki b'yitzias Mitzrayim nasu b'nei Yisrael k'piri ha'chadosh ha'mamish. When we left Mitzrayim, we became like a new creation. Kasher nivchu lios avdei Hashem. Now we're chosen. So now we're chosen to be avdei Hashem. So this is renewal. V'nischachu menavshel Sam. And now we have new souls. Why? Because we became Jews. We converted to Judaism. What happens when you convert? Gershin is Gayer. Anyone heard the phrase? Gershin is Gayer. Right? Ketino pekut shenol adami. It's like you're a baby. So we're newborns. Now we're with Hashem. And that's why you say at Mat Torah, what did Hashem say to us? I said, okay, Hashem, okay, Asher. Say, where is the shrine? What's a better trick? To create the world or to take the Jews out of Egypt? Creating the world. So why doesn't it say, I am Hashem who created the world? So there are many answers to that question. But the Svazemis' answer is because creating the world is not a big deal. The purpose of creation is not the cosmos. The purpose of creation is the human soul. And what became new at creation? The cosmos. What became new at Yetzias Mitzrayim? The human soul. Now we left Egypt. We're not in Golis anymore. We're not in Mitzrayim. What does Mitzrayim mean literally? Mitzarim. Boundaries, narrow places. That's what Mitzar is. This narrow place, you don't feel good. You don't feel like it's you. And then you leave Mitzrayim, and then you go to receive the Torah. You have this sense of renewal, of excitement. And that's Asher Tzimayot Zayin. This is greater than the Bria. That you should wake up in the morning and you should feel, wow, this is amazing. I'm alive. I can say thank you. There's a God. He's with me. I'm with him. I'm in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. I can choose today to be the biggest tzaddik that ever lived in history. I can choose that today. I don't know what's going to be tonight. How about this morning? I'll come 5 minutes early to davening. I'll say Karbanos, get a little gishmak out of saying Karbanos. Isn't Karbanos fun? Karbanos is that part that we skip in between Berachas Shachar and Baruch Shamar. I mean, it can be fun. I personally don't always enjoy saying Karbanos. But you find a way to find that you say Karbanos, you find the schachas in saying Karbanos, you learn about the Siddur. You learn, you get into it. And the Lekav Nemar Shor Tzizir, Goldi Ofer Yisroki Yisem Nispal and Yosef and Abriya. V'cheinu la'olam midas ishi Yisraeli Shembuch and Amasir Yosef and Yosef and Yosef and Yosef and That is the purpose of creation. So Asemis is saying, the purpose of creation is that we should feel ischachus. It should be exciting. So how do you make it exciting? You become a connoisseur. You want to make learning exciting? You get really good at it. You just keep learning and learning and learning, and then you see, it's very interesting. The people who don't know how to learn so well, they find other mitzvahs if they're looking for mitzvahs. But the people who love to learn, just keep going. Why? Because once you get into it enough, it becomes really, really exciting. And that's why Reb Nevenzahl isn't interested in going golfing. Because every time he goes through Shas again, every page he does is exciting for him again. And every bracha he makes, you ever see tzaddikim? We just make a bracha, and you see them enjoying the bracha? That could be you! Who does it depend on? You! To learn how to make a bracha. And if you don't know how to make a bracha with the geshmak, because it's boring, because you do it 100 times a day, I hope, right? So you ask somebody, you say, you know, I see you're really into your brachas, right? How do you do that? Right, you see a guy davening a really long Shemoneh Esrei. So you say to him, you really must be into your Shemoneh Esrei, you're not just trying to get it over with. What makes Shemoneh Esrei exciting for you? And they give you tips, and you learn, you become a connoisseur. You make davening exciting, you make learning exciting, you make chesed exciting, you make working on your midas exciting. It's a lot more exciting. It's a lot more exciting when you're walking down the street and you see, you're looking down, you see a skirt, it's a lot more exciting not to look. Because at that moment you don't look, you're the Gadol HaDor. You're the Gadol HaDor, you had an Yisrael, and you passed it. Now you're not going to get any accolades, nobody knows, it's just between you and your Ribono Shel. And that's it, that's what makes you so great. And if you have a phone, and you make sure you filter it, and you never look at anything you're not supposed to look at, and you knock out all the garbage that everybody's sending all the time, you know how many WhatsApps people send a day? I looked it up. 60 billion. So 60 billion what's... Do you think these are people who have a goal in life and now the WhatsApps are going to help them reach their goal so they're receiving? No. They're just sending this nonsense and that nonsense. You have a goal. You didn't look. You unsubscribe from this shtus and you unsubscribe from that shtus. And then you become more and more of a tzaddik at that moment. And again, there's no Ruchaim Kanievsky. There's no Nevenzahl. That's not for you. That's not for us. You know, it's hard for us to even grow a long white beard. It's going to take guys a long time. But just every moment, finding the hischachas, that new excitement at that moment, to do the right thing, to be holy, and to fulfill your personal potential, like Rebbe Elchanan said, your potential, it's all you have to do. All you have to do is have your advertisement for the army. Be all that you can be. Be all that you can be. That's all that Hashem wants from you. And then all of a sudden you can relax. You ever compare, anyone in this room ever compare themselves to anybody else? Nah. But somebody else is comparing themselves with you. You don't have to compare yourself. Because Hashem gave you special kochos that He didn't give him. And Hashem gave him special kochos that He didn't give you. So that is my message, my sweet friends. We should always have a schachus, a chodesh zelachem, and our chodesh Hashem. And that way we should be tzaddikim. And I had a minhag for all the years, and I'm going to continue it now. I hope you like it, and I hope you'll join me in doing the following. 2, 3, 4. If du es Hashem b'simcha, if du es Hashem b'simcha, levanta v'nata, levanta v'nata. If du es Hashem b'simcha, if du es Hashem b'simcha, levanta v'nata, levanta v'nata. All right, thank you guys. I really appreciate it.
Questions?